Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Monarch butterflies could soon be listed as a threatened species. The population has dropped dramatically since the 1980s, and there's been an effort to get them listed since 2020. Last week, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service set things in motion to get the monarch listed. The service is encouraging the public to help with the monarch's recovery by commenting on its proposed listing as threatened. Wisconsin is among the places monarchs spend time along their migratory journey. One of the groups rooting for the butterfly is the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. Caitlin Williamson is Director of Conservation, and she joins WUWM's environmental reporter, Susan Bentz.
At the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin, we protect Wisconsin's lands, waters, and wildlife, and we do that by providing funding. So we've provided lots of grant funding over the years to support monarchs and other pollinator conservation efforts. We also do that by building partnerships. A great example of that is helping, together with our partners, establish the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, which is really the first of its kind statewide consortium of organizations who have come together to support the monarch. We also do a lot of connecting people to nature. So we've got this fabulous field trip program where folks, adults, families, people of all ages can get out with different conservation experts and connect with nature directly. So we've got some amazing, for example, monarch tagging trips every year with our partners.
Tell me a bit more about this collaborative. It came together in 2017, is that right?
It did. You know, there had been a lot of conversation within the conservation space about the decline of monarchs that had been observed. And at that time, there were a lot of other states who were looking to build kind of statewide efforts and develop statewide plans for monarch conservation. So the Monarch Collaborative was established. We had an initial Wisconsin Monarch Summit back then to kind of determine how all these different groups in the state wanted to come together and work together collaboratively towards monarch conservation efforts, and the WMC grew out of that. Fast forward to today, and we have more than 50 different partners, partner organizations who are represented in the collaborative, statewide agencies, the Department of Natural Resources, DATCAP, the Department of Transportation, as well as local government groups, to nonprofit organizations, utility companies, farm and agricultural groups who are really working together. We've got various working groups such as energy and transportation, agriculture, urban and green space, really looking at how can we, of course, support monarchs by putting in more native milkweed and wildflowers, because both of those are important for monarchs throughout their life cycle.
The impetus originally was that is around the time that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was, there were rumblings that the monarch might be designated as threatened or endangered?
That's right. There were preliminary conversation about that and efforts also at kind of regional and national levels of, right, how are we taking care of the species that we have seen these declines by about 80% just within recent decades. And so, you know, at that time, there was an effort within the Midwest Fish and Wildlife Association group to really look at kind of a regional Midwestern plan for monarch conservation. And Wisconsin really factors into that because much of the state is within the eastern core of the population that we see kind of east of the Rocky Mountains in the United States. It's really important breeding grounds for monarchs. We see multiple generations of monarchs that breed in Wisconsin before heading south to Mexico, where they overwinter. So really a key place for conservation of the monarch butterfly to happen is right here in Wisconsin.
Does Wisconsin have a plan for, I shouldn't say of attack, but of attack?
Yes, we do have a plan. That's one of the deliverables that the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative worked on together, was establishing the first Wisconsin Monarch Conservation Strategy to exist. So that came out a few years ago. And what's really important about that is it specified a milkweed stem goal. So the goal in there is to put 119 million new stems of milkweed on the landscape by 2038. So it's kind of a long-term goal, which is a lot, right? And that really speaks to the kind of all hands on deck approach that is needed for monarchs. So meaning we need, not just habitat in our public lands across state parks and natural areas and wildlife areas, but also, in medians, in cities or in county highways, in people's backyards. Every stem counts. That's the, of course, the host plant for the monarch butterfly. And it's not like we want to see just milkweed, right? But within a kind of a matrix of native wildflowers, which the adults nectar on. And obviously, that benefits so many other species too, other pollinators and invertebrates, birds. Really, really great habitat for a wide array of species. And so that plan specifies some of the kind of goals that different working groups within the collaborative are working towards. So I'd mentioned the Protected Lands Group or the Agriculture Group. There's also a research and monitoring working group within the collaborative that helps really ensure that the best available science is informing the conservation efforts as well as communications and outreach. And that's been a really great facet of the collaborative is the information sharing with the public. Lots of our team, and I should say the Monarch Collaborative is primarily volunteer led. We have one coordinator for the collaborative, but it's a lot of people who are volunteering their time to support this work and getting the word out through outreach, whether that's at conferences or presentations or tabling at different events like Butterfly Action Day at Olbrich Gardens, a lot of places like that.
What are your initial thoughts when the news did come through that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is indeed moving in the direction of naming the monarch butterfly as threatened?
Yeah. Well, my initial reaction is it's great news to have those protections for monarchs. That's going to make a really big difference if that goes through with monarchs and pollinators. And at the same time, it really affected me just seeing, the scientific data, the species assessment reports that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did for monarchs, right? Of course, this has been known for a long time within the conservation community that we've been seeing those declines, but just really seeing this affirmed by the service, their estimation for the extinction probability for monarchs by 2080 is 56 to 74%. And right, that just really hit me hard. It's a species that we all have grown up seeing, and they're around and iconic, and once were common. I'm sure, many folks can remember times where they would see more monarchs on the landscape than they do now. So it's hard news just knowing that a species like the monarch has declined so much. And it's really a really great opportunity to have these protections in place, but also a call to action that I hope will inspire so many different people. And that's to me, what's really beautiful about monarch butterflies and their conservation efforts is that literally everyone can make a difference. Even students within a school, we've had students do like a penny fundraiser for our pollinator fund and put in pollinator plantings in their schoolyards. If you live in, in a city, putting in milkweed and other native plants in your own backyard, all the way to, large corporate campuses. And anyway, the point being that there's so much that everyone can do to help make a difference, and I think that's really inspiring.
There's a 90-day comment period that has been initiated now with the Fish and Wildlife Service announcement, right? What's important about those 90 days or these 90 days?
Yes, so the proposed listing is just that, it's proposed, it's not finalized. So there's currently no legal protections in place for the monarch. Right now, that public comment period is open. So it's an opportunity for the public to act, to really share their perspective on what they think about the proposed listing decision.
So, some of the influences that are impacting many, many species, including the monarch, is loss of habitat, right? Climate change is a profound influence on all this, right? So, in Wisconsin and other states that would be part of this migration path would be agriculture. I mean, Wisconsin is an agricultural state. So, is that one of the key elements is how we farm?
Yeah, definitely. Working with Wisconsin's farmers is going to be huge for the success of this. And they, there's so many champions among them already. For example, Awesome Farms is a producer that we've worked with at the Natural Resources Foundation through our Wisconsin Pollinator Protection Fund. They're part of the Wisconsin Healthy Grown Potatoes program, which is a really innovative, holistic approach at caring for the land. Some examples are Pheasants Forever and Sand County Foundation. Some of our partners have really been working closely with producers. There's even a Farmers for Monarchs initiative across the country. There's just lots of opportunity for producers, and it's really great to see some of the involvement we've had so far within the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, within the agricultural space. And certainly there's a long ways to go, but I think it's really exciting that the role that farmers can play and producers can play in helping this, because it's totally a team effort.
Anything you want to underscore?
It's big news that this listing proposal has happened, and I'm incredibly hopeful that Wisconsinites will step up from all facets of our state, different sectors to really contribute and make a difference together within communities. And there's a lot of ways that people can help. So I've mentioned, of course, doing what you can to put in milkweed and native plants within your own areas of influence, whether that's your backyard or, schools or community centers or places of worship or where you work, everywhere it's needed. I would also say, too, for the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, the statewide consortium, we're especially now seeking more members from organizations. So if you're a representative from local government or corporations who care about this, farmer groups or producers or urban organizations, we need you and would love you to be part of the collaborative. So it would be great to have folks reach out to me or to the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative to find out more. And also just for the public, we have an email newsletter that folks can sign up for on the website, wimonarchs.org. And just a plug too that we're looking for donations to get good monarch habitat on the ground, and to support the coordination of this big statewide effort now more than ever, right, with this listing decision. But I think my biggest hope would be that people, really take this to heart and know that that they can make a difference. It's a really incredible opportunity.
Caitlin Williamson is Director of Conservation with the Natural Resource Foundation of Wisconsin. She spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz. The public comment period is open until March. You can find tips on how to protect monarchs at WUWM.com.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.